We're doing a little series called God, Money, and You. And we're talking about believing God for finances, believing God to meet your needs. How many of you got any needs you want to fulfill? I guess we all can lift our hand and say, I have a need. I want to, you know, there's people here that want to go to university or something. You're going to save up for money for university, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. You want to buy a car. You want to have your own apartment or whatever it is. You're trying to have finances to do that. And you have to have, you have to believe that you cannot believe something if you don't have scripture. If you've never been taught, how could you believe something's available if you have never been taught? Some people in this room, you've never been taught. No one sat down with you. You didn't listen to anybody. In fact, maybe you disobeyed your parents. And, you know, one of the key things about life is that if you don't honor your parents, honor your mom and dad, and you don't honor those around you, that elder, you know, that are there for you, that the Bible says that you will not be blessed. You cannot be blessed if you don't honor your elders, you don't honor your parents. I was brought up in a very way to honor my elders. When elders came to our house, we sat up and let the elders sit down. We don't do that anymore. You know, somehow we lost that. We lost a lot of stuff that was rich for our life and blessing. So scripture answers a lot of things. I was at the hospital yesterday visiting, and I put a picture on my Facebook. I don't know if did anybody see that. I have a card. They give me a little card when I joined the ministerial spiritual care. And so you have your picture ID, and you go to the hospital. You're able to be there, and you have security and so on, and you can park for free. You can get free parking. You don't have to pay a lot. And so I thank God that I was able to go yesterday and visit a few people. And, you know, in fact, when I go there, all of a sudden you have a convergence of people asking for prayer. And I thought this morning that there is a vacuum of spiritual people that know God that will have an answer for somebody. We are in a famine of spirituality, that people want to have true spirituality. They want to know God. And there's many people that are sick. Doctors have given up for those people to die, and they're in a hospital. And then you go there, you can't just go and help everybody. You can't just make everybody heal. You can't heal everybody. You know, people think that because Jesus was Jesus and that he went around forcing people to be healed, even if they didn't have any faith. That's not how Jesus operated. He didn't go around forcing people. He always asked people, what do you believe about it? And so he always was able to interact with people. And sometimes people will call on myself, like people like myself or any other spiritual man in position. They want to send you to the hospital and do something for them. There are people that are desperate. But you can't always go there because those people might not want you. And it takes time to minister to people. You ever notice that? It takes time. First of all, you have to know if they're friendly. If you go to someone's yard, you have a dog out there, you don't know if that dog's going to bite you or lick you. So you go to someone's room, you don't know if they're going to get mad. I've been to places where they said, we didn't call you, we don't want you. Well, he said, your brother sent me, your son sent me. And he said, no, we don't want you, get out of here. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate when people are able to do that, because when my mom was sick, I didn't want the whole convergence of every relative to come there and try something spiritual on them. They're sick. You want somebody with faith to go in there with faith. Amen? You want somebody to believe God and ask God, his blessing upon them. And so yesterday I was able to go. And a lot of times I don't go there just to, rip my spiritual muscles out. You know what I'm talking about? And bang heads together and kick devils out. If someone has devils, they might like them. They might enjoy those devils. They like having those devils. And it doesn't, in the Bible, they never did that. They waited till the Spirit allowed them to cast devils out. In fact, even some Christians have a few devils. Let me go check on some right now. Yeah. Some people can have. I've been in a position where I've known people who are spirit-filled Christians, spoke in tongues, that had devils, and was able to help those people out. Now, it doesn't mean you're possessed. It doesn't mean you're possessed. It means that sometimes you have an influence around you that's kind of hanging around. Yesterday, when I went there, some people said, "Hey, can you help us? We have our home has demons in it." Well, I said, I'm not going to say anything right then, but it's not my house. It's your house. I can go and do something about it, but when I leave, they'll come back because you let them in. So it takes time to teach people how to protect themselves, how to get healed, and how to stay healed. Are you guys okay this morning? Because I'm just sensing, you don't know where I'm going this morning. Wednesday night was just nice and juicy, man. I tell you, woo-hoo! I mean, it was good for quite a while, but we had to stop because the Leafs were playing at 7:30. Then suddenly the anointing lifted. Okay, so there is a spiritual vacuum, and people need you to be taught the Word of God. So let's go to Mark 11, 23, 24, the King James Version. Believe in God for finances, or believe in God to meet your material needs, or believe in God for meeting every one of your needs. Everybody is on a different level in this room. Not everybody is at the same place. You notice that? Every one of you have a different income. You have a different level of income. You have a different level of understanding. But everyone can be blessed. And everyone can be generous for what they have. If you're cheap, God help you. And the only way to break cheap is to be a giver. If you believe God has plenty, then you know where it's coming from. Not of you. If you're so stingy, you don't want to. Somebody said, they're back in those days. Remember when we had the dollar bills? You remember that? How many of you remember the dollar bills? Okay, how many of you don't remember the dollar bills? Okay, somebody, the younger ones. Well, we used to have dollar bills, guys. And there was the queen on it. It was green color, kind of a greenish color. And some people said they would be so stingy to squeeze that dollar bill. They're so stingy to squeeze that, they'd make the queen cry. squeeze it so hard. Okay, so Mark 11, 23 and 24. This is a scripture of faith. For verily I say to you, Jesus is talking to his disciples, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, oh, the mountain's getting bigger. It's too big, no? Whoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. So the mountain, be removed, mountain, be cast into the sea. And then he shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, that is, believe in his heart, that those things which he said shall come to pass. Not whatever the pastor said, not whatever somebody else said, but what you said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. I heard Charles Capps one time say, people are having what they've been saying. People are having what they've been saying all their lives. What you have now is what you've been saying all the time. And they will continue to have, they continue to possess what they say. If you look on someone's Facebook, it's all negative. Always having trouble. Always having conflict with the law, with the police, with their relatives. They're always fighting. There's violence in them. Whatever you say comes out. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, he says, whatever is in a man's heart will be revealed by the words he says. And what you say will reveal the condition of your heart and will reveal what you believe. If you go look back on your life right now, today, and you look at your life and you begin to honestly evaluate the way you speak to people, the way you talk, the way you interact with people, it will reveal your level of faith. You cannot proceed beyond what's in your heart. And the way you can change that is begin to change your mind and begin to feed yourself, feed your spirit with the Word of God. Because the Bible is faith food. We survive on the Word of God. And then he goes on to explain in verse 24 in that chapter 11, Jesus did. He explained why prayer works. Prayer only works on the understanding that you know how faith works. Because prayer works by faith. Prayer works by believing with your heart. What does it mean to believe with your heart? It means you're believing without using your sensory perception. That means the way you feel, what you see and know around you as being the truth or being facts. You know, somebody said, you know, the natural has the facts of what exactly going on, but the truth really is that God has blessed you. That's the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. You can read that over and over in the Bible, that the word of God is truth. What you're experiencing right now, you know, in life is true in the sense that, you know, facts of the natural, but you don't stop there. The Bible teaches us that we must go beyond what we see here and believe what God says. Can you say amen, please? Okay, so help me out a little bit here. Okay, so I feel like I'm all alone today. Say, I love you, Pastor. We love you, Pastor. I love you too, but you can help me out a little bit. Okay, now listen. He says, therefore, I say to you, he just explained the God kind of faith. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. Now it says that when the moment you're praying, you have to believe right then that you receive it without having any sensory perception that you got something. If you're not willing to do that, then your prayer is not going to work. Amen. So you have to understand, he says that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, the moment you're praying, you have to believe that you receive it right then. And then you shall have them. That's future. In other words, you have to believe right now you got it. When I pray for you for healing, you got to believe that I'm getting it right now because I'm believing in accordance to the Word of God that it belongs to me. I'm believing according to the Word because it's the assurance. The Scripture is the assurance, the title deed, that I have something. And that's what you got to believe. You got to believe that in your heart without seeing it. Without feeling it, without it having to manifest right away. Like you can't come here and just say, oh, if I can, Pastor, can just lay hands on me, if I just feel something, oh, I felt something, then I got something. I go to your back to your chair, oh, I got something. And then you leave out here and that feeling dissipates and you say, well, I guess I don't have it. And then all of a sudden the devil steals away from you before you reach your car. So we need to stick with the Word of God. On this. So this is faith. So we need to say this with this idea this morning that God has provided a way for us to meet every one of our needs. God has provided, everybody say, God has provided a way to meet all my needs. So in 1 Timothy 6:17 it says that charge them that are rich in this world. You know, some people are more richer than other people monetarily or momentarily sometime because you could lose what you have. That they may not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. See, riches can be uncertain. You could have it, but then you could lose it. But the living God who giveth, everybody say, He gives. Us richly all things to enjoy. He says richly. God gives us richly. God wants to give you richly to enjoy things. He wants you to not just have one pair of shoes. He wants you to have more than one pair of shoes. Not just one suit. He wants you to have a whole rack of suits. He wants you to have a car, but he wants you to maybe have a truck too. Amen. I'm believing for a truck. I'm going to believe for, I told my wife, I'm going to believe for a motor boat. Now that I'm a little bit older, I can do a little bit of, some stuff, fishing. I want to have tackle and fishing stuff and whatever. I'm believing God for even, I was trying to believe God for a motorcycle, but my wife wouldn't let me. He said, you're not going to have no motorcycle. So I'm believing God for a scooter at least. I'm going to try that. Amen. You want to see Pastor Roma down the street with a scooter? Amen. No, as people of God, we need to build on a positive mentality that God has provided for us everything we need in this life. Because the scripture says so. So many of God's people possess a poverty spirit, a poverty mentality, believing the lies that God will not meet their needs and that they have to go through life scratching the bottom, not having their needs met, and believing only for what Egypt gives you or what this world is able to give you. People are, some of our people just believe, maybe the government will just give me something. I'll just win back all. No, we need to believe God is going to bless you whether or not government's going to do something for you or not. Yeah. Amen. Are you here this morning? Yeah. Can you say amen over there in that corner? Amen? Okay, amen. Yvette, you're not saying anything unless you can throw your voice. Okay. So they're living below the standard that God has provided for them. The more you know God, the more you will enjoy life and the more you'll be blessed. Notice the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace. Grace is God working on your behalf. You don't have to do anything. In fact, God told the Israelites, listen, go over there. You're going to take over all the riches and blessings that you didn't have to work for. Vineyards and all that stuff. You never read that? It's in there. It says, grace and peace. I mean, how many of you can enjoy some nice peace right now? Eh? Go home, man. Oh, it's wonderful peace. Eh? Instead of having all the noise, everybody bugging you all day long, Peace, some people can't enjoy peace. They always have something bugging them inside. There's a problem always bugging them. They always have to smoke. I've got to smoke. I need a smoke. I'm running out of cigarettes. I what am I going to do next? I got to find out. I got to take a drink. I'm going to make sure I got a drink. I got to have a woman. I got to have a man. They're continually. There's no peace in the people. And God wants us to have peace. That kind of peace where you don't have to have that kind of problem. You don't have to smoke. You're just at ease. Tranquility. He says, this grace and peace, notice that it's multiplied unto you. How does grace is multiplied? How does peace is multiplied? Through the knowledge of God. Or you could say it this way, through the knowledge of God's word. Because God and his word are the same. And of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You have to know what Jesus has gotten for you. What did Jesus life, what does it mean? What did Jesus, what his life meant when he came here, when he died for you, when he went to hell for you? The Bible said he went there for you for 3 days. And he came out. So you never ever have to be afraid to go to hell in this room. Never have to be afraid of going to hell. You're free right now. Don't be afraid of death. You're going to heaven. Because Jesus said so. Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to heaven. But you're not going now. You're going to stick around. So grace is what God has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And faith is the way we access those graces. We use faith to access what God has provided by His grace. Grace is free. God has done it. So we all need a foundation about God meeting our needs. We need a foundation, a basic foundation. Before you can believe for finances or any material things, you have to understand that God wants to bless you and has blessed you, that God has fully met your need through Jesus Christ. Once you know that God has already provided every need that you have, God has already provided an answer. It does not surprise God that you're having a need. He's already, in His sovereignty, in His understanding from way back, knows that you will come across needs. He's already provided a way out of your situation. And that's why He sent Jesus to fully provide for you whatever, you know, when you see in the scriptures that something belongs to you, it belongs to you. You have to access it by faith. You have to believe it. So, God has revealed scriptures to us, given us scriptures to reveal His need to fulfill your need. For instance, in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospered." That's talking about spirit, soul, and body. God wants to prosper you materially, financially, and He wants to prosper you in the physical realm. He wants you to be physically healthy, mentally whole, as it says, as your soul prospers. Your soul is your part of your mind, or your mind is part of your soul. You know, your soul has to do with how you feel and how you think. So God wants to bless you by giving you the word so that you can be free from entanglements of the evil one's teaching in your mind. The scripture says that, according to this word here, you have to renew your mind in this area. Just as much as you have to wash your face every day, or shave, or whatever you do to clean yourself every day, you have to do the same thing with the word of God for your mind concerning the area of finances. It doesn't happen automatically, because Jesus has provided for it. You have to begin to study the Word of God on it until it becomes a part of you. Don't pay attention to what people say about us as Christians. And we're called the Word of Faith people. If you come to this church, you're a Word of Faith person. You're one of us. You're family. You're like Peter, Paul, James and John, and Jesus and Jude, and so on. The devil wants you to be in need so that he can have control over you. When you're in need, you can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. You can't go out past your house. You only have enough money maybe to get on the bus, go across town, maybe can't come back. That's poverty. God wants us to come out of it. You know what? Listen. A lot of us came out of a poverty lifestyle. I talk to, you know, myself and Maxine and Ed, we sit down sometimes, and, you know, and others, we came from a poverty mentality. We were so poor that if everybody was in the poorest side of town, walked by our house, they'd say, "My, oh, those guys are really poor." We never had any electricity, any running water. And somebody said, "I was the running water." They say, "Roma, run to get some water." Amen? And we made our own lamps out of lard and matches and braids. And we made our own matches. We made our lamp, only our lamps. I don't know. Did you still use that? Yeah, okay. And we used to do all kinds of stuff. We never had a fridge, never had a TV till the 70s. I was 17 years old before I came to my first flushing toilet. You're looking at a guy who was really in poverty. Like, when I think about it now, I tell my wife last night, I said, "You know what? I said, you know, my wife and I said, you know, I don't have any needs. I don't have any debt. I don't have debt. My wife and I, we don't have any debt. I don't owe thousands of dollars on housing, and my house is paid for. The cars I drive, they're not brand new, but they're like new, and God preserved it. It's like the Israelites, their shoes never wore out. The only thing problem with that is that I like all kinds of shoes. I don't like the same kind of shoe. I hope God changed the color of it once in a while. So, you know, and I came from a real poverty. I look at myself now, man, I'm rich. Money, I could just go for an ice cream if I want to. Take a trip, show my card. Amen. Are you still here? Well, we got about 5 minutes left. So, the devil wants control over you and control over the church. If the church doesn't have any money, it can run programs, it can hire pastors, it can have revival meetings, it can buy nothing, it can't do anything if the church is poor. We need to be blessed so that we can do something, so that we can help the other people out there that need us. God wants us to prosper so that we can help the poor and help other people that have other problems in life. So the devil wants to control you. Notice Psalm 35 in verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. You know, the Bible says in Philippians that Paul was rejoicing because the Philippians was able to meet his need financially. Wouldn't you be happy if someone came by and paid all your debts? That happened to me. I was no preacher. I was not a TV minister. People think it's because I'm on TV, he's got money, that guy. That's what people think. It's funny, you know, they got money. I got all kinds of money. Like, I'm an average kind of pastor in the city, you know. You know, it's amazing what people think. 35:27, he says, that favor my righteous cause, yea, them that say continue, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God gets happy when you're blessed financially, when you're blessed, you know, because you can enjoy life, you can share. I know when God's people are being, you know, God's people are generous, because if they got something, they're going to give it out to somebody. Sometimes when you're walking downtown, you see somebody, you know, they're on poverty row and they're asking for something. Sometimes it's hard to say no. I sometimes just reach out and give. One young lady was watching me going to the bank the other day. I can tell she's on drugs, sitting there, looking at me, and she walked by and finally knocked on my window. I said, yes, what do you need? She said, well, I was just thinking if you could help me out. I said, what do you need? She said, well, I need to catch the bus going the other side of town. I'm from this reserve way up north, and I'm going to get some money to go back home. I said, well, I don't have it right now, but I came out of the bank. I gave her $5. And the Lord said, give her a couple more. So I gave her a couple more because she needed to get it to the other side of town. You know, so, you know, you have compassion on people. That's what I'm trying to say. Even if sometimes you know what they're going to do with it. But I believed her that she wanted to go out of town. So notice the scripture here in John 10:10. Jesus contrasts his life with the devil. He says, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. If there's anybody stealing in your life and killing and destroying, it's the work of the devil. He said, I am come, Jesus, that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. What does the word abundant mean? It means extremely plentiful or over sufficient quantity of or supply. An abundant of whatever it is, like abundant of grain, abundant of whatever it is you have. It means, abundant means overflowing with fullness. It means affluence. It means wealth. So that's what it means. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have this. That you might have this. The devil is a thief, and he has come robbing people, robbing from the church, destructive teaching of having a poverty mentality, and also the fear of lack. People have a fear of lack. If I give something, I'm going to run out. That's demonic. If God has told you to give something, if God told you to give it a tithe, is that trying to make you poor? He's trying to find a way to get it to you. He wants, Jesus received the tithe, then he blesses you. He gives you the power to gain wealth. Deuteronomy 18:18 says, 8:18 says he's giving you the power to get wealth. So you can't do that unless you start following what God says. Give your head a shake and listen to the Word of God and start listening to what he says. You can bless yourself. Yes, you can bless yourself. Go ahead and buy a car if you want, but you go ahead and carry the payments for 162 weeks of hard payments. But if God does it, he'll do it himself. Amen. He says in Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient. Somebody said that there's some people that are obedient, but in their heart they're not willing. They're just going through the motions. God knows your heart. It has to come together. You must have a heart that's willing to follow God, to do whatever God says to do. And you must be obedient, begin to do that which God said. And you shall eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? He promises people, Israelites, just like you, he promised to meet all your need. The good of the land means you're going to have the best. Amen. I don't go to Zellers to buy my shirts. I go where I feel like, what I want from a store. I mean, I could go to a TC and buy shirts. I give them my shirts. I go because I buy what I want to buy. Amen. Now, don't be jealous. I mean, you could buy a shirt too after the service. Amen. So notice this in the Amplified Bible. The good of the land. We talk about abundance, what it means. He says, I came, the second part, Jesus said, I came that you might have or enjoy life, this Amplified, and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. What's he talking about? Well, God wants you to have a life full of riches and abundance, to be blessed. That's prosperity. God, you know, one denomination, you take a poverty, oath of poverty. It means that you don't own anything. And you it's not really poverty. That's not really poverty. It's that you don't own you don't own a car and buy a house and so on. But, poverty would be go live on the street. Have one pair of shoes with holes in them. That's real poverty. Philippians 1:19. This is building a foundation. I'm almost done here. Please understand this. Look at this. And my God will liberally. This is amplifying. My God will liberally supply. Notice this. Fill to the full your every need. Not just one pair of shoes, but more than one pair. I'm using that as an example because it could be anything. Right? To fill to the full your every need. Say every need. According to his riches and glory, not according to your skills, not according to your job, not according to, the condition of the economy, but according to Jesus, God's riches. That means God can get something to you when everything else is down. God will do that, and I'll show you other scriptures that will tell you that. Even when everybody is down, God will bless you. Amen. And we have to believe that God will do stuff when it's not possible normally. According to his riches in Christ Jesus. But Jesus has provided for you. He said, I come to give you, we just read it, what he just said. I come to give you life, give it in abundance. Psalm 37:19, the Common English Bible says, they won't be ashamed of trouble in times. In a period of famine, they will eat their full. In other words, when everybody's having a hard time, you are going to be able to flourish. Let me give you this, Job chapter 5, verse 20. In famine, he will ransom you from death. In war, from the power of the sword. God has the ability to reach out and help you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. He says, for I know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. Why? That you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus became poor so that we could be rich the same way he became sin for us, so that we can receive his righteousness. It says here in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, the latter section, that though he was very rich, yet for your sakes he became very poor in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. I'm saying this, you need to have a foundation. If you're going to believe something, you're going to have a foundation to believe, to stand on something. I'm giving you a number of scriptures to show you that you can have a foundation to believe God for whatever it is you need. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, the good news says, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, rich as he was, he made himself poor for your sake in order to make you rich by the means of his poverty. The King James says the blessing of the Lord in Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord, everybody say the blessing of the Lord. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich, 10, 22. Look at it. Proverbs 10, 22. It's not working, man. I've lost the anointing. Everybody say the blessing of the Lord. Say the blessing of the Lord. Is that not the blessing of, where do you work? Where do you work, Pastor Dave? Where do you work? The blessing of Bombardier? No, it's not Bombardier. It's going to make you rich. Okay? The blessing of, for us here, at the blessing of Faith City Church? That's for me and the pastors? It's not, I'm not rich. I'm not supplied because the church is providing for me. That's just an area. So it makes you rich and has no sorrow to it. What does the word rich mean? It means to have full supply, to be abundantly provided for. I remember listening to Brother Hagin one time. He said when Jesus appeared to him in a vision, he said, my Holy Spirit has been trying to talk to you and lead you along, but you haven't been listening. You see me, I'm talking to you right now in the Spirit. I'm talking to you right now. He says, this is the last time I'm going to be leading you this way. He said, if you learn to follow my Holy Spirit, I'll make you rich, he says. I'll make you rich. That means I'll provide for you abundantly. Listen, you look at it. Look at the Israelites. God says that we're the Israelites is the type and shadow of our lives. Whatever happened to them, God wants to make happen for us. You got to believe that. If you don't believe it, you don't see it, you're not going to get it. You got to be able to see and read and check on it and say, oh, that's mine. It's like healing. If you don't grab a hold of healing, if you don't study the scriptures on healing, you're not going to get healed unless God does something outside the ordinary, and that doesn't usually happen. Tell them I'm busy right now. I'll be right back. So you know, it's important that you see the scripture. You know, when I go to the hospital, people send me to the hospital, go pray for somebody, and I'll go to pray, and sometimes just to appease them, I'll go. Because I don't want anybody to be mad at me and say, we don't care for people. I care for people. Sometimes I care too much to pray for someone, because I know if I pray for them, it's going to fail because they're not ready. They're not ready to receive. They're not at the point where they can receive prayer. First, you got to get the word in them and then pray. Or if the Holy Spirit does something by his gifts of the Spirit, by the word of knowledge and gifts of faith and miracle and healing, if God doesn't move that way, then we have to depend on our faith. And that's the way God always has it, is by faith, not by miracles. We can believe for miracles. We can believe for a miracle. A miracle is when God moves in a situation without any kind of intervention by human standard. It's outside of the realm of human help. And God will only do that only certain times in life. So when I go to the hospital, I pray for God. I know God, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I've been there where we've rescued people who are actually physically dying. I can tell people in this room that know about this that they were the specialist said they're dying. They're dying. And they come out of there. It's hard. We have people in the medical, friends who are in the medical, nurses and stuff, who's been in the, working in the medical field forever. First time, they said it was hard for us to believe at first when we became a Christian, that this actually can happen. It does happen. God can change things. He's made things. And we need to believe God that he can change things in our lives. And if you don't believe it, then it's not going to happen. At least give yourself a chance. You say, it doesn't happen. Well, listen, give yourself a chance. Let God give him a chance to work. So I'm going to the hospital this afternoon. I'm going to go see somebody there in the ICU. And somebody else called me to go to somebody else, and he's kind of lost his mind in the hospital. Then I got to go visit somebody else in the hospital. So when I leave here, a lot of times I don't come here because I'm out there doing work. You know, and then I'm working with the pastors. We're trying to get along in this city. People don't see things my way. I don't fight with people. I just say, okay, if you don't see it, I just walk away and just leave it. You know? You have to understand, you try to be a blessing to people, but you can't always be a blessing to people because they don't see eye to eye with you. But we're gonna see eye to eye with God. Amen. The blessing of the Lord. We'll come back to this. Because you can't get something unless you know it's available. You can't believe for something if you don't know it's there. Go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Jesus.